This is Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hina Baba. So people are flocking to the Bay Area from all over the world to buy homes. And the market is largely being driven by a booming economy driven by the tech industry. Tech jobs are growing faster than colleges can award computer science degrees. A Microsoft report states that in less than 10 years, there will be 1 million available computing jobs in the U.S. How many of those jobs will be filled by women? As of now, not many. The National Center for Education Statistics reports that women made up just 18% of undergraduate computer science majors in 2010-2011. And when tech companies released their diversity numbers last year, women made up only 29% of the workforce on average. Bay Area documentary filmmaker Robin Hauser Reynolds considers this digital divide in her new film, Code, Debugging the Gender Gap. KALW's Angela Johnston spoke with Reynolds about what she found.
Why did you decide to make this film in the first place?
Well, my daughter was studying computer science in college. And for the first time in her academic career, she called home with doubts of her ability to really to succeed in computer science. She was one of just two women in her classes of 30 to 40 students. And there was this sense of ambient belonging that took over, that she really didn't belong. And this is something that a lot of women feel.
You actually start the film and start the documentary by showing that some of the first computer scientists were actually women. So can you tell me about them?
Gloria Steinem says that women have always been an equal part of the past, just not an equal part of history. And I think this is very true with computer science. Ada Lovelace was one of the first programmers, and very few people even know who she is. Grace Hopper wrote the first algorithms that really formed computer science languages. And she's not a household name either, is she? So I think that part of that is because of the transition of the stereotype of what it is to be a programmer or a coder. And I think that once it went from women who were just plugging and unplugging cables to, I think once people understood that this was something that was going to be part of our future and that it was interesting work and work actually that was could be very lucrative too, I think that's when suddenly men wanted to get involved in it. And so it transforms for sort of from woman's work to something that men were involved in.
There's this great clip at the beginning of the film where you ask a group of girls what they think a computer scientist looks like. And let's hear it.
If I had you draw a picture or describe to me what they look like, computer science programmer, what would they look like?
Glasses.
And that image in your mind, is that a man or a woman?
Man.
So did most people you talk to have that same reaction where it's a man, it's somebody that's wearing glasses, it's somebody that's white?
Yeah, absolutely. So we went around to different schools. We went to a school in Oakland. We went to a school in Marin County, different socioeconomic groups within these schools. And I really didn't tell the kids why I was there. But I just wanted to find out and ask them exactly, you know, what do you think? Tell me, you know, what if I say computer scientist, describe it to me. And it was really fascinating to me. And it confirmed our hypothesis, which is that they really they picture in their mind a very nerdy man, a white, nerdy young man.
The film profiles something called a stereotype threat, and that was the first time I had really heard about it. Can you explain what it is and how it contributes to this bug in the gender gap?
Stereotype threat is a hindrance in your own capabilities because you're afraid of confirming a stereotype. If girls are told they're not good at math, if women are told that they typically don't do as well on a certain test as men do, then these women actually won't perform as well because they know that that's what the world thinks of them. Their thought process is preoccupied with this concern that they're not going to do well on it because they're a woman and therefore they're not supposed to do well on this certain test. And just those thoughts alone are enough to distract you and to take you away from focusing fully on that test. So when women are told that they don't do as well on this test as men do, they actually don't perform as well on this test just from being told that.
The study is showing people performing on a test, but how does that translate into the actual job environment?
So if a woman is told, or if if the assumption is that a woman is not as good at math or therefore not as good at computer science, then when a woman is put on a team with men, engineering or coding, and she truly believes that the men on her team don't believe that she can be a good coder because she's a woman, she probably won't do as well as she could do if she were supported by a team that all believed that she could do it as well. So women go to work having to prove over and over, and this is across all industries, but they go to work having to prove their abilities, having to prove that they deserve to be in the position where they are. So therefore, women have to work 2 to 3 times harder to maintain the same sort of status and level at a company as a man does.
I'm speaking with Robin Hauser Reynolds, director of the documentary Code, Debugging the Gender Gap. Let's hear another clip from it. In it, we'll hear from Jane Margolis, a UCLA researcher.
So there's a long history across all sorts of fields that diversity is critically important if the innovations are going to positively impact all people. When the first voice recognition systems were designed, it was by men. They were using male voices to test it. And what ended up happening is that women could not be heard. Not only could women's voices not be heard, but then when they were doing voice recognition and video tracking, women could not be seen.
Why does it matter who's coding as long as we have the products? And why is it important that we have diversity in our and the people who are making our products?
Yeah, I actually was just the very beginning of coming up with the idea of the film when my mom came over for dinner and said, well, Robin, why do we care? I mean, what difference does it make? If people are coding, what's it matter? And what we've learned is that diversity equals innovation, right? Diversity, more diversity means greater innovation. So an example of this would be sort of the airbag, for example. When the airbag was first designed and engineered, the engineering team was all white men. Therefore, they didn't stop to think about the fact that a woman or a child's weight or body structure would be different. So when the first airbags were put into cars, they actually killed women and children. Now, did these engineers mean to kill women and children? No. But there wasn't a woman on the team. So nobody stopped to think, wait a minute, a woman's frame is different, a woman's body structure is different. Let's make sure that these airbags work for women too. So this is not to say that every team should be all women either. But this is to say that if you have socioeconomic diversity, so if you have people that have grown up in different backgrounds, and if you have gender diversity on a team, you're going to have the ability to think beyond sort of the small group that would typically be engineering.
What needs to happen to close this gender gap?
So first of all, I think we need to change the stereotype so that girls and people of color see themselves, they understand these are creative, collaborative, lucrative jobs, and that they want to get involved. I think that's the most important thing, first of all, is let's change that. Let's get Hollywood's help by showing women in really cool positions in the sciences and technology. I think we need to make computer science accessible to all students across the U.S. The more we do that, the more girls are going to be comfortable with it and not just take after school classes, which are dominated by boys. And then I think that we need to not tolerate sexist behavior in the workplace. And I think the only way to really make that change is to have more women in leadership roles. So my advice to a man in startup in a hiring position would be hire women, pay women equally, and promote women. And just by doing that, we can help, narrow the gender gap.